بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 15th and final session for Arabic lessons in Tawheed, level 3, يعني مستوى ثالث, Islamic University of Medina Arabic language program. In the previous 2 weeks we read at least a couple of times this lesson, الدرس السادس, الإيمان وأركانه الستة. And today, inshallah, we want to complete, and we also read the lughat, yani the Arabic, the expressions that came at the end of the lesson on page 34 and 35. And today we want to do the questions, 5 questions on page 36. And I think I sent you a note, and I said in the note that you should please review the answers to these questions, and if yani necessary, write them out, unless يعني you have memorized the answers. Okay, after the درس he will explain it to you. So for now we're on page 36, المناقشة, يعني discussion of the issues from this lesson in question format. Question number 1, اذكر معنى الإيمان ثم اذكر أركانه الستة. يعني what's the question we have some questions before that. I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Ya Musa. Okay, we're going to go back before that question. We're going to go back to التدريب on page 35. It says, استعمل هذه الكلمات في جمل مفيدة. And you use these words in beneficial sentences, complete sentences. Okay, the first one is أركان. Ya Musa.
تكبيرة الإحرام من أركان الصلاة.
طيب, تكبيرة الإحرام من أركان من أركان الصلاة. طيب جيد. نعم إبراهيم.
جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمعجزات عديدة.
Oh, he's going to the next word. جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمعجزات
عديدة.
Meaning the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came with a number of miracles. معجزات عديدة. No, it's okay. It's okay. You have another sentence for the first word.
من قام بأركان الإسلام الستة فهو مسلم.
من قام بأركان الإيمان الستة. من قام بأركان الإسلام الخمسة فهو مسلم. Okay, that's for أركان. Okay, now somebody else. Last word. We have one more word here. Unless somebody has another example. Somebody has another example for معجزات. Hold on, wait a minute. You have one? Zahleen? Huh? Okay. موسى. ما هي المعجزات أو معجزات الأنبياء والرسل. What are the miracles or the signs of the prophets and messengers? Mustafa, you have a sentence here? You have a sentence? No.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Abu Bakr. Okay, now go ahead. Abdul Haq. يعني the Quran is the greatest miracle that Allah has aided.
No, it's the greatest of the miracles.
Of the miracles? Naam, the greatest of the miracles that Allah has aided His messengers with. Naam.
What?
He's saying that Allah. Let him explain himself. Brothers.
Is the greatest of the miracles Allah has aided His messengers with. The
Yani he's saying that Allah has aided his messengers with many miracles. Out of all of those miracles, it's the greatest of all miracles. But he's saying it's the greatest of the miracles that Allah gave to different messengers. And he gave many miracles to many messengers. But of all of those miracles that were given to all of the messengers, the greatest of all of those miracles is the Quran. Okay, no problem. Okay, let's move on because time is upon us. Umul Qura. Umul Qura. Naam.
Umul Qura min al-jami'at al-Saudiyah.
Umul Qura min al-jami'at al-Saudiyah. Min jami'at al-Saudiyah. Yani Umul Qura is the name of one of the universities in Saudi. Huh? Mecca, Umul Qura. Mecca is Umul Qura. Now he's saying Mecca, it is Umul Qura. Now, this is the name of this villages or cities. Now,
Al-Makkah al-Mukarramah. Umul Qura is min asma' Makkah al-Mukarramah.
Okay, good. But say it again slowly and loudly so everybody can hear. We can have some commentary now. Slowly and loudly, so we can have some commentary. Go ahead. So your classmates can hear you.
Ummul Qura ismun min asma'i Makkah al-Mukarramah.
Everybody heard it? He said, what's the meaning of what you said?
Ummul Qura is the name from the name.
Is one of the names?
From the names of Makkah al-Mukarramah.
Makkah al-Mukarramah, no. Perhaps. But in any case, the point is, he corrected the mistake he made the first time. That's what's important. Right? Yeah. MashaAllah. No, this is good. It's better when you correct your own self. It's better when you correct your own self. Because it shows that you actually know. But sometimes, you know, we're speaking quickly, and we might say something without thinking about, you know, all the rules, okay? First time he said, Al-Makkah, Al-Mukarramah. Then he said, wait a minute. Jayeed, okay, let's go on. Let's go on to the questions now. The questions on the next page. Okay, the first question we read already, right? اذكر معنى الإيمان ثم اذكر أركانه الستة. Yani this question, the meaning of this question is what? What's the meaning of this question? Mention the meaning of Iman. Then mention its six pillars. So there are two parts to the question. One part at a time. First, mention the meaning of Al-Iman. What is the meaning of Iman? Abu Bakr has his hand up first. We'll give him the first shot at it. What is the meaning of Iman, Ya Abu Bakr? Let me come over here so we can hear you a little bit better. Yeah, it's all right. No problem. Go ahead.
الإيمان شرعا هو اعتقاد بالقلب.
Okay, hold on. He's doing the definition first, one part at a time.
اعتقاد بالقلب وقول باللسان وعمل بالأفكار.
Okay, hold on, stop there. We can stop there, okay? Any comment on his answer? Did anybody hear it? Okay, no problem. But basically, he gave the correct answer. He said that al-Iman lugatan, the first part of the question is the definition, the meaning of Iman. So he gave the luga and the shara'i. Yani, I could hear you, but you know, al-Iman lugatan is tasdiq. Wa didduhu at-takdhib. And then they gave some examples, yani, but that's the meaning of it, okay? As far as shara'an, amma ma'na al-iman shara'an, fahuwa i'tiqadun bil-qalb, wa qawlun bil-lisan, wa amalun bil-arkani, ay arkan al-islami al-sitta al-khamsati. And here, yani, this part of the definition, I wanted to emphasize here, because the meaning of the last part of this shara'i definition of iman, amalun bil-arkani, they have explained it as أركان الإسلام الخمسة. Okay, and that's what we want to discuss. When we finish these questions, we want to come back to this expression here. We want to come back to this expression here, that the meaning of عَمَلٌ بِالْأَرْكَانِ, one of its meanings is أَرْكَانَ الْإِسْلَامِ الْخَمْسَةِ. That's one of its meanings. But most of the scholars said عَمَلْ بِالْأَرْكَانِ means عَمَلْ بِالْجَوَارِيهِ. But in any case, this is not wrong. It's just another way of explaining it. It's just another perspective to look at it, which is a very important perspective. We're going to go into some detail and discuss it later, inshallah. Okay, the second part of the question is, يعني أذكر أركانه الستة. يعني mention the six pillars of Iman. Somebody else take the second part of the question. Give somebody else a chance. We only have five questions here, so we want everybody to get a chance to answer something. Some of these questions in two parts. Yeah, Mustafa. You lost?
أتمنى بالله ورسوله وكتبه وشره وحضر الشريف
والقدر خيره وشره. Okay, hold on. Let me finish. You finish?
Wait. You make me confused.
Yeah, sit. Go ahead again. Do it again.
Okay. أتمنى بالله ورسوله وكتبه.
Let him finish.
وملائكتي.
The last day. اليوم الآخر. والقدر خيره وشره. Okay, this answer, the arkan of Iman الستة, يعني is taken directly from the hadith, right? The hadith of Jibril that we mentioned, يعني where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he was asked what is Iman, he said أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. Okay, this is the answer to the first question. The second part of it mentioned the six pillars of Iman. The second question is تحدث عن الإيمان بالرسل مع ذكر أسماء خمسة منهم. Okay, what's the meaning of the question?
Speak about
faith in the messengers, along with the mention of names of five of them. Okay, so this question also has two parts. The first part, talk about al-Iman بالرسول. Talk about al-Iman بالرسول. Okay, who wants to take this, يعني, discussion about al-Iman بالرسول? Okay, and we're going to give somebody else a chance because we want to spread it around a little bit. Abdul Haq said he'll jump out there.
I wrote my question, so I'm going to read them.
Okay, you can read it, no problem. It's okay. If you didn't memorize it, you can write it, no problem. No problem, it's good.
الإيمان بالرسل هو الاعتقاد والتصديق بأن الله قد اختار رجالا وأرسلهم للناس ليكونوا مبشرين ومنذرين وأيدهم بالمعجزات لدلالة على صدقهم فبلغوا رسالة ربهم وبينوا للناس ما أمر الله به وما نهى عنه وعلينا أن نؤمن بهم جميعا ولا نفرق بين أحد منهم ولقد كرم الله الرسل وحفظها من الوقوع في المحرمات.
نعم. طيب, that's the first part.
أيضا ختم الله الرسل برسولنا محمد.
Okay, the first part of the answer he gave is on page 32, right? bottom of the page where the mudarris says لا يصح إيمان أحد إن لم يؤمن بجميع المرسلين. Okay, this is the first part of the answer, that the iman, no one's iman will be correct without believing in all of the messengers. Okay, we're talking about believing in the messengers, right? And then he says, وَلَقَدْ اِخْتَارُ اللَّهِ رِجَالًا. So Allah has chosen men and He has sent them to the people so that they may be مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. So that they may be what? What is the meaning of مُبَشِّرِينَ? Bringers of good tidings, glad tidings. And مُنذِرِينَ? Warners. Yani warners against those who disbelieve or who disobey Allah. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ. So He sent these people so that they may give good news to the people who believe and do good deeds. And that He may warn against the people who disbelieve and who disobey Allah. And He has aided them with mu'ajizat. Al-mu'ajizat, ad-dalati ala sidqihim. Yani this also, the point about messengers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, yani miracles or signs that point to their truthfulness. So that people know that they are really truthful when they say they were sent by Allah. And then He said, the third point, another point, فَبَلَّغُوا رِسَالَةَ رَبِّهِمْ وَبَيَّنُوا لِلنَّاسِ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَمَا نَهَى عَنْهُ. Yani that they have delivered, conveyed the message of their Rabb, and they have made clear to the people what Allah has commanded them, what Allah prohibited them from. And then finally, yani near the end of it, yani very important point, it is incumbent upon us to believe in them, all of them, and not to separate between any one of them or distinguish between them. And then he says that Allah has honored the messengers and He has preserved them or protected them from falling into al-muharramat. Yani meaning that the messengers, they are, yani, what? They are ma'asum. Yani protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from falling into the major sins. As far as minor sins, there's dispute about this and difference of opinion. But in any case, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran the names of some of the messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam. And somebody take the second part of the answer. Yani mention the names of five of them. Somebody else take the second part of the answer. Now. He's going to take the easier one. Now.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa Ibrahim, wa Musa, wa Nuh, wa Isa, alayhi salam.
And he started with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he went to Nuh, and Ibrahim, and Musa, and Isa, and Maryam, alayhi salatu wa salam. Naam, these are some of the names. What are the names of other messengers that are mentioned in the Quran? Other messengers? Somebody, one?
Lut.
Dawood. Idris. Sulaiman. Hud.
Salih.
Huh?
Salih.
Yusuf. Salih.
Huh?
Shuaib.
Yahya.
Yusuf. A lot of prophets. How many prophets are mentioned by name in the Quran?
Yunus.
Elias.
Al-Yasa'a.
How many prophets are mentioned by name in the Quran? 25. 25. Mentioned by name. Okay, after this, the third question. Third question is, يؤمنوا المسلمون باليوم الآخر اكتب موضوعا في هذا المعنى باختصار مفيد. What is the meaning of the question?
Muslims believe in the last day.
نعم, the Muslims believe in the last day.
Right?
A topic?
In
which
with this meaning? باختصار مفيد.
Summarizing
it? Beneficial summary. What do we mean by beneficial summary? What is a beneficial summary?
Ma qalla wa dalla.
Now, yeah, meaning that it's not a lot, it's ikhtisar, but it's sufficient. Yeah, it's mufid. It brings yani what's important without going yani overboard, getting lengthy. Okay, mufid. Mean that the person reads it, they benefit from it. But it's not like going into every single detail. Okay, so we're going to make a brief answer to this question. Musa, did you answer any question yet? You want to take it? You want to give it to Abu Bakr?
Abu Bakr answered already.
Abu Bakr answered already.
Yeah, let's carry Musa. Musa, نعم. So we want to try to give a little more participation. نعم, Musa.
Which question now?
This is question number 3. يعني meaning talk about the subject of يوم الآخر.
هو يوم القيامة الذي التي يبعث الله الناس وفيه وفيها الحساب والميزان والصالحون يدخلون في الجنة والظالمون يدخلون في النار.
في النار. طيب. يعني يوم الآخر is the day of قيامه, the day of resurrection, and it is the day which Allah raises up the people in it. And it also, what will take place on the day is al-hisab, yani the accounting, and al-mizan, the weighing of the deeds of the people, and the righteous people on that day will enter the paradise, and the enemies of Allah will enter the hell fire. Now, he want to add one thing, Abu Bakr, now. اليوم هذا اليوم لا عمل فيه
هذا اليوم لا عمل والحساب في
يعني هو يوم الحساب
يوم الحساب لا
بلا عمل ولا عمل نعم يعني it's a day of accounting of deeds but nobody will be able to do any deeds on that day نعم طيب زدنا زدنا
يوم القيامة يوم عظيم
يوم العظيم
هو يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين
نعم
وهذا اليوم الذي يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وعلى كل مسلم أن يستعد لهذا اليوم
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله in translation it is يوم العظيم it is what a great day
يوم يقوم الناس لرب العالمين
that will stand in front of Allah
that is the day that the people will stand in front of the Lord of all the creation
نعم
that is the day that a person will flee from there يوم يفر المرء من أخيه from his brother his mother and
Yani, why would a person flee from his brother and his mother and his father? Why? Because he will be concerned about himself. Everybody will be worried about himself. Naam.
So it is upon every Muslim to prepare for this day.
And this is very important addition that he brought to this. It is important for every Muslim to prepare for this day. Alhamdulillah, no, this is good. This is good.
Huh?
Okay, this is the subject dealing with يوم الآخر. The fourth question is ما الواجب علينا نحو الإيمان بالقدر. ما الواجب? Notice the question. ما الواجب? ما الواجب علينا نحو الإيمان بالقدر. Okay, it didn't ask us what's the definition of إيمان بالقدر. It asks us ما الواجب علينا نحو الإيمان بالقدر. Okay, what is the meaning of the question?
What is
incumbent? What is obligatory upon us? What is obligatory upon us towards al-Iman bil-Qadr? Yani, in reference to Iman bil-Qadr, what obligation is upon us in reference to this faith in the divine decree? This is the fourth question. Now, Abu Bakr, we're coming back to Abu Bakr. Al-Wajib Alayna, he said. Okay? And this answer that he's reading is from page 33, the last paragraph on the bottom of the page. After the meaning of Qadr, Al-Qadr, after the meaning of it, it says, Fal-Wajibu Alayna. Go ahead, read.
ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن
طيب يعني he's giving the answer that what is obligatory upon us is to believe what's obligatory upon us in reference to al-iman bil-qadr is to believe that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed لابد من وقوعه it is a necessity that it must occur bi iradati Allah wa hikmatihi wa tasrifihi. Yani it must occur by the will of Allah and by the hikmah of Allah and by yani Allah being the one to cause it to happen. Here I just want to add that whatever. Naam, you want to add? Oh, okay. No, I mean I wanted to add a comment on that point, but if you want to add something else, no problem. No, go ahead, go ahead. We'll come back to it. Yani, and also it's obligatory upon us at taslim wa sabr. Yani, that we surrender, that we submit, and that we accept and be patient with what Allah has decreed. Do you want to add something further?
He took my answer.
He took your answer. Was he looking at your paper? Or he's just, he knows how you think.
He didn't write anything,
he knows how you think. Okay, I just want to add that here, the statement, the first statement that was made concerning qadr, yani, that it is فالواجب علينا أن نؤمن بأن ما قدره الله لابد من وقوعه بإرادته وحكمته وتصريفه. We want to say here that this is بإرادة الله يعني القونية. Okay, I want to distinguish between the إرادة of Allah due to which something must occur. That's إرادة القونية, not إرادة الشرعية. Because the إرادة of Allah is two types: إرادة قونية and إرادة شرعية. And the difference between them is that irada qawniya, Allah's universal will, is in reference to that which He decrees to happen, He wills it to happen, and it must happen. Even though it may be something that He loves and is pleased with, or something that He does not love. As far as al-irada shara'iyya, how is it different? Because it's what Allah legislated to happen. What He legislated to happen. And that is only what He loves and is pleased with. And it may or may not occur. Okay, so the difference between irada qawniya and shara'iyya is 2 points. The first point, irada shara'iyya is only what Allah loves and is pleased with. Irada qawniya, Allah may love it or He may not love it. The difference, second point, irada shara'iyya, it may or may not occur. It may happen, it may not happen. But irada qawniya, it must happen. So the irada shara'iyya, Allah legislated that people pray, that they make salat. But some people pray and some people don't. So it may or may not happen, but it's something that Allah loves. Irada qawniya is what must happen, though Allah may not love it. Yani it may happen that Muslims are murdered and killed unjustly in the earth. That doesn't mean Allah loves that. But He decreed in His irada qawniya, it must happen, though it's something that He loves or He doesn't love. It may be what He loves, it may not be what He loves. Okay, so the difference on these 2 points we're going to say, because here they're referring to irada qawniya, not irada shara'iyya. Irada shara'iyya, we can't say it must occur. It may or it may not occur. I just want to make that point, clarification, because it's not discussed. And this is just a brief explanation about qadr. Okay, after this, question number 5, last question now. Now. No, and not in each case. In irada, an irada shara'iyya, Allah loves. It's only what Allah loves and is pleased with. There's nothing in the shara'iyya that Allah doesn't love. So irada shara'iyya is only what Allah loves and is pleased with. Irada qawniya is what includes what He loves and some things that He doesn't love. So this distinction between them, clear distinction between them. The other distinction, irada qawniya must happen. That's what they're talking about here. As far as irada shara'iyya, it may happen, it may not happen. Yani Allah has legislated for all people to submit and surrender to Him and practice the deen of Islam. But that yani doesn't mean that it has to happen. That's what Allah loves, but it may not happen. Sure, we see many people are not accepting Islam, submitting and surrendering to worship Allah alone. Okay, the last question, number 5. Bayyin ma'na al-ihsan. Wa waddih kayfa yakunu al-abidu fi ihsanin. كيف يكون العابد في إحسان. This question also has 2 parts. The first part, بيّن معنى الإحسان. Make clear the meaning of إحسان. That's one question. The second part of the question is, وضح. Make clear, كيف يكون العابد في إحسان. How the worshipper will be when he practices إحسان. How will the worshipper be? Okay, Mustafa will take the first part of the question. The meaning of إحسان. Okay, no problem, read.
أن تقبل الله كأنك يراه
Okay, so the meaning of ihsan is as it came in the hadith. Literally, the Prophet ﷺ gave us this definition of iman, that you worship Allah as though you are seeing Him, and if you do not see Him, then know for sure that He sees you. This is the meaning of ihsan as it came in the hadith. Now, okay, so he took the first part. This is the meaning of ihsan. Anybody want to add to the meaning of ihsan anything?
Yes.
Yes. Al-itqan. Yani al-ma'na ihsan al-itqan. Yani mean to perfect it, to do it well, to do it well, to perfect it. Now, al-ihsan it means al-itqan, to do it well. And the way to do lughatan, the way to do it well is that you worship Allah as though you are seeing Him, or as though He's seeing you. Now, Faiz, question or statement? Huh? Ikram al-Muslimin. Okay, so part of the meaning of ihsan is honoring, treating well the Muslims. And this also meaning, yani we want to clarify when we came to the second part of the question. Because the second part of the question is, كيف يكون what is the second part of the question? What كيف يكون العابد في إحسان? Here in the second part of the question, كيف يكون العابد في إحسان? يعني how is the worshipper when practicing إحسان? يعني as a worshipper, it means إحسان in your ibadah, إحسان with Allah. But the إحسان is of two types. إحسان يعني in worshipping Allah, and ihsan in the treatment of the creatures of Allah. Okay? So that's part of ihsan, right? Treating the people well. But the part that we're more so concerned with right here is the definition the Prophet ﷺ gave here. That's in ibadah, in worship. Ihsan with Allah. Ihsan with Allah. Okay, that's the first part. That's the part that we're concentrating here on. Yani the ihsan in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is in the way that you worship Him. Okay, second part of the question. Second part of the question is, make clear how is the abid when they are in ihsan? How will the worshipper be in ihsan? Okay, I'm going to sit down for this one because I can see that's going to be yani involved.
والمشاهدة لمعبوده سبحانه وتعالى فتكون عبادته حينئذ قائمة على وجه المطلوب في إتقان فلا يتساهل في أدائها
Okay, so yani basically he's saying that as it came in the hadith from this expression, we understand from it that yani the abid, when they are practicing ihsan, then they must worship Allah yani as though they are yani fi hal al muayyana, as though they are seeing Allah with their own eyes. والمشاهدة as though they are witnessing or present in the presence of their ma'abood, the one who is being worshipped subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, if a person yani worships Allah as though they actually see Him and they are in His presence, in this condition the person's worship will be yani established, yani qa'imatan ala wajh al-matloob, in the way that it is required with itqan or perfection. And then yani he said this is the highest level of ihsan. Yani because there are two levels of ihsan in the worship of Allah, and this is the first level. Naam, Abu Bakr, you want to add to it?
Yeah,
يرانا في كل حال سرا وعلانية في الليل والنهار. ثم إن الإنسان في العبادة هو أعلى المراتب مؤدية إلى أحسن
نتائج
بإذن الله سبحانه وتعالى. قال الله تعالى ومن أحسن
دينا
ممن أسلم وجهه لله وهو مسلم واتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا.
طيب. So the second يعني level of إحسان is يعني first يعني he concluded the first level فالعابد المحسن يعني the worshipper who is practicing إحسان في هذه الحال يعني the حال of معاينة ومشاهدة للمعبود سبحانه وتعالى. This person بلغ منزلة عالية, they have reached a very high level, and this is درجة الإحسان. ولا تنسى ان الله غلام العيوب يرانا الغيوب يرانا في كل حال سرا وعلانية بالليل والنهار. And this is really the second level, يعني the second level of ihsan, the lower level of ihsan, and that is that we must remember that Allah is the one who knows all of the unseen matters. Allam al-ghuyub. He sees us in every condition, situation or circumstance, whether secretly or openly, by night and by day. Yani meaning that the second level is what? That a person worships Allah, if they can't reach the level of worshiping Him bit yani bil mu'ayana wa mushahada, then at least they should worship Him knowing, not forgetting that Allah is the knower of the unseen, and He sees us in every situation or circumstance, in secret or in public, in day and in night. Knowing that Allah is seeing you, being conscious of this, this is also a level of ihsan, that if a person worships Allah, it's also a very, very high level. And this ihsan, yani in worship, yani in reference to Allah, as opposed to the ihsan with the people, this ihsan in worship is the highest level that leads to the best results by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, yani in the end, that person will be in the best condition that yani anyone can be in on Yawm al-Qiyamah in terms of the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is the last question. Anybody want to add to it anything? Okay, these are the questions that we have for this final lesson. And what remains now is the expression that came in the beginning of this lesson. We want to look at that expression and look at some discussion of some of the scholars, how they explain this matter. The first thing I want to say is that in this lesson, the expression came, yani, which I found to be a little bit unusual, and it caused me to go back and get some benefit. Yani, the expression came here in the beginning of our lesson, where it is written that the meaning of iman in shara'an is i'tiqadun bil qalbi. Yani, on the first page 30, the teacher says al-imanu lughatan at-tasdiq wa didduhu at-takdhib. And then it says on the next line, أَمَّا مَعْنَى الْإِيمَانِ شَرْعًا فَهُوَ اِعْتِقَادٌ بِالْقَلْبِ وَقَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَعَمَلٌ بِالْأَرْكَانِ أي أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْخَمْسَةِ. This expression, yani, is what? Yani, caused me to, yani, go back and try to search. And I was benefited by a young man named Abdulaziz. MashaAllah, he's a researcher, and he brought us some good benefit that we're going to read from today, and concerning this point. Yani, the scholars of Islam are in agreement, the scholars of Sunnah are in agreement that Iman is not just conviction in the heart, right? Scholars of Islam, of the people of Sunnah, are in agreement that Al-Iman includes three essential elements, and one of them is the conviction that's in the heart. Yani, what is contained in the heart? And the second of them is the expression of what you have in your heart on your tongue. Yani qawl bil lisan. And the third of them is amal, yani deeds, actions. Some of the scholars said amal bil jawarih. And some of them said, as we found here, amal bil arkan. But what is generally understood by amal bil arkan is that arkan here means jawarih. Yani the pillars mean the limbs of the body. Meaning actions that a person does besides just yani what they say on their tongue, the actions that you do, physical actions. But here they have defined the amal bil arkan as amal yani a arkan al islam al khamsa. Yani arkan, they interpreted arkan not to mean jawari but to mean the five pillars of Islam. Five pillars of Islam. So yani we want to just take a look at this meaning that was brought to us here. And I don't know if somebody wants to read first yani the Arabic text concerning this topic. We want to look at this in some detail. Who wants to read first? Naam, Ibrahim.
Let me read everything, I'll just read the first part.
Yani, read the first paragraph. Yani, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines.
قال الإمام محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله لا خلاف بين الأمة أن ابن عبد الله
قال الإمام محمد بن
قال الإمام محمد بن عبد الله
عبد الوهاب
رحمه الله لا خلاف بين الأمة أن التوحيد لا بد أن يكون بالقلب الذي هو العلم واللسان الذي هو القول والعمل الذي هو تنفيذ الأوامر والنواهي فإن أخل بشيء من هذا لم يكن الرجل مسلما
يعني الرجل is the اسم كان and مسلما is خبر كان. Okay, this is the first statement here. يعني الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله says لا خلاف بين الأمة أن التوحيد لا بد أن يكون بالقلب الذي هو العلم. يعني the meaning here is Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has said in one place and he's quoting from يعني الدر السنية لا خلاف بين الأمة. There's absolutely no difference amongst the Ummah of Islam that التوحيد لا بد أن يكون بالقلب. Tawheed has to be in the heart. يعني a person is not just anybody just said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah khalas. Yani without anything in the heart. There has to be from the heart. Yani i'tiqad bil qalb. La budda an yakuna bil qalb. Alladhi huwa al ilmu. Yani an aspect, an important aspect of the i'tiqad that's in the qalb. How can a person have conviction in the heart without al ilm? Yani you have to be based on knowledge. It has to be based on knowledge. So the i'tiqad that's in the qalb, he's saying that its foundation is knowledge. Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first of the three elements. يعني لا بد أن يكون بالقلب الذي هو العلم واللسان وباللسان الذي هو القول. And this is the second element that if the person has conviction in their heart based upon knowledge of Allah, they have to actually express it. You have to testify that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah and the Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. You have to actually speak. You have to say something that testifies to what is in the heart. The i'tiqad that's in the qalb. وَالْعَمَلِ الَّذِي هُوَ تَنْفِيذُ الْأَوَامِرُ وَالنَّوَاهِ. And likewise, the third element is the action, the deeds, which are تَنْفِيذُ الْأَوَامِرُ وَالنَّوَاهِ. Meaning?
Carrying out,
implementing, the execution of the commands that Allah has given to us and the prohibitions. Executing it, carrying it out, implementing it. فَإِنْ أَخَلَّ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ هَذَا لَمْ يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ مُسْلِمًا. Huh? Meaning?
If it is empty of one of
these. If it is empty or short or defective from any one of these. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ هَذَا يعني from these three things. لَمْ يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ مُسْلِمًا.
The individual will not be a Muslim.
Then that person will not be a Muslim. Yani their tawheed will be yani invalid if they don't have conviction in the heart based upon knowledge. If they don't express it on the tongue, speak the things that are required by a tawheed, by al-Islam, by Iman. And then that they have to act upon it. They have to execute the awamir and the nawahi. And a person can't just say, I'm a Muslim, I really believe in Allah, and say it all day and night, but they don't do anything Allah commanded. They don't avoid Allah's prohibitions. It means that their Islam, their Iman, their Tawheed, their Deen, will be defective. Depending on to what extent, it may be invalid completely. And it depends on what's missing. Okay, the person would not be a Muslim. This is the first thing that he said. And here, the point in this particular paragraph here, is that, I mean, a couple of notes that I want to note is that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says, لا خلاف بين الأمة أن التوحيد. Yani he's talking about al-Iman, but he referred to it as Tawheed. Because the core of Iman is Tawheed, it's the foundation of Islam. So if a person says Iman, they said Tawheed, they said Deen Allah, all of these are terms that are used for the same thing. But normally the scholars defined Iman with these three elements. But here Imam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he defined a Tawheed with these three elements. This is the definition that the majority of scholars and the people of Sunnah, this is the definition for Iman. So he said there's no difference to call it Iman, to call it Tawheed. It's the same. Because it's all going back to the same thing. You mean when they say somebody is a Wahhabi? Yes, the wife. Yani, this is the accusation of the people of ignorance, people of deviation, saying that these people are Wahhabis. The people who really worship Allah correctly, they call them Wahhabis. Well, some people said, no problem, naam, they are Wahhabis. They worship Allah, Al-Wahhab, naam. That's Allah's name, Al-Wahhab, right? So this is yani, just false accusations of people of ignorance and people of deviation. Okay, second paragraph. Second paragraph, Musa.
ويكون على اللسان بالنطق وترك النطق بالكفر ويكون على الجوارح بفعل أركان الإسلام وترك الأفعال التي تكفر فإذا اختل واحدة من هذه الثلاثة كفر وارتد.
نعم. Okay, so the second paragraph here is also from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله. He says قال, يعني it's the writer is saying قال أيضا, that he also said اعلم رحمك الله أن دين الله. Know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that the deen of Allah. Okay, here in this quotation, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is calling it, yani, he's talking about Iman, but he's calling it the Deen of Allah. Okay? He's saying the Deen of Allah. In the previous quote, he's saying at Tawheed. And all of this is about Al Iman. So this is also a proof to us that Al Iman, yani, can be referred to as a Tawheed, which is the core of the matter. Or it can be referred to as Deen of Allah. The Deen of Allah, what is it except, yani, its spirit, yani, its core, its essence is Al Iman. So know that أَنَّ دِينَ اللَّهِ يَكُونُ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ. It will be upon the heart. The deen of Allah has to be in these three elements. In the heart, it has to be بِالْإِعْتِقَادِ وَبِالْحُبِّ وَالْبُغْضِ. Yani here, something is added here, right? It's saying that in the heart it is اعتقاد. Yani having the conviction or the beliefs in yani التوحيد and whatever is required yani that comes from that. But he also adds to it, وَالْحُبْ وَالْبُغْضِ. Meaning that part of this, what is in the heart, that's from the deen of Allah, that's from yani Iman, is loving for the sake of Allah and hating for the sake of Allah. This is from the core requirements of Al-Iman, from the core requirements of a Tawheed, of the deen of Allah, Yani if what is in the heart is that there has to be hub and there have to be bughd. Yani loving what Allah loves and hating what Allah hates. Loving whom Allah loves and hating who Allah hates. This is part of the core of what's in the heart that's required as a part of the deen of Allah or the tawheed or the iman. وَيَكُونُ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ بِالنُّطْقِي وَالتَّرْكِي and nutki bil kufri. And again here, yani he also adds another point, yani that this deen of Allah or the tawheed or iman will be upon the tongue. It must also be manifested on the tongue by nutq, by speaking. But here, yani he just leaves it as nutq. He means what? Nutq bil tawheed, nutq bil la ilaha illallah, nutq bi yani what is required for iman, that a person has to express the iman on their tongue. And the opposite of it, tarqi and nutq bil kufri. Yani so the meaning here is that what is required by the tongue is that a person speaks, yani verbalizes the iman on their tongue, and they avoid speaking yani that which is kufr. So here we have what? The requirement to speak, yani to pronounce the iman on your tongue and to avoid the pronouncement of kufr. And finally, يكون على الجواري بفعل أركان الإسلامي والترك الأفعال التي تكفر. يعني also it has to be in the جواري, the limbs of the body parts, يعني the physical actions by فعل أركان الإسلام. And here he refers back to what came in our book, يعني that العمل بالأركان, that it can mean, يعني العمل بالجواري means, يعني أركان الإسلام الخمسة. Because these أركان الإسلام الخمسة are the main actions that a Muslim is going to do. Yani the actions that are required as a part of iman are many actions, but the most important of them are the arkan of Islam, khamsa. Those are the most important actions that a believer does. So here he said, yani he used the word jawari, but he said, yani by doing the actions, yani which are the arkan of Islam, and by abandoning the actions which to kafir, which cause a person to go out of Islam. So in this paragraph here, there's a point here that's of importance, yani that there's hub and bughd. Yani that in Islam requires us to love and it also requires us to hate. It's not just loving for the sake of Allah, but also hating what Allah hates and hating who Allah hates. And there's also nutq bil iman wa tark and nutq bil kufr. Yani there's pronouncing what is required of iman, of tawheed, and also not pronouncing the words of kufr that take a person out of Islam. And in terms of actions, there's also doing the actions which are most important arkan of Islam, and avoiding doing the actions that cause a person to fall into kufr. If a person yani is missing or fails in performing any one of these three things, then the person has fallen into kufr and they have gone out of Islam. Kafara wartadda. Naam. Okay, then the last point that we want to make here is from Ibn Munda. Naam. Abdul Haq? You want to read Abu Bakr?
No, sorry.
You want to let Abdul Haq read? Okay, we'll share it. There's a long discussion here. Naam. I think it's Ibn Munda, but it could be Munda, Allahu A'lam. Ibrahim says Munda. Naam.
Okay, wa qala al-Imam ibn Munda rahimahullahu wa amma a'malu al-jawarihi fa huwa af'alu as-sa'iru al-jawarihu من الطاعات والواجبات التي بنى التي بني عليها الإسلام أولها
إتمام
أولها إتمام الطهارات كما أمر الله عز وجل
ثم الصلوات Al-Khamsu. And remember the numbers from 3 to 10 is opposite. The adad and ma'adud is opposite in gender.
Al-Khamsu. Sawmu shahri ramadani. Ramadana.
Aywa, mamnu'a min as-sarf.
Wal-zakatu ala ma bayyanahu ar-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Thumma hajjul bayti min man istata'a alayhi as-sabila.
Okay, we're going to stop here. Okay, the first part of what Ibn Manda. Now you're right, Ibrahim, it's Manda, naam. Al-Imam Ibn Manda, naam, it's with Fatah, naam. Ibn Manda, rahimahullah. Amma al-amal bil-jawari. Yani here he's talking about the third part of the definition of Iman. The third part of the definition of Iman. Yani he already mentioned the other parts and he's going to the last part. Amma amal al-jawari. Yani this last part of the critical elements of Iman. Fahuwa af'al sa'ir al-jawari. Yani meaning, other than what's in the heart, and other than what's on the tongue, the rest of the limbs of the body. Sair al-jawari. Everything else, other than the speech that's on the tongue, or what's in the heart, then the amal bil-jawari includes everything else. It's not from the actions of the heart, it's not from the actions of the tongue, it's from the actions of the rest of the members of the body. Min al-ta'at wal-wajibat allati buniya alayha al-islam. And it includes all acts of obedience, and all things that have been made obligatory, Allati buni alayhi al-Islam, that Islam is based upon, all the things. So here, he's including the arkan of Islam al-Khamsa. But he's making it more general, that it's not, and that's a proof that what is intended in our book, in the note here, that amal bil-arkan, yani allati, yani arkan, meaning the arkan of Islam al-Khamsa, means that those are the most important things, not the only things. Because it's clear here that it includes everything that Islam is founded upon. That means all acts of obedience and all obligatory duties that Islam is based upon. And the first of them, and the most important of them, is the arkan of Islam al-Khamsa. The first of them is itmam al-taharat. Yani, is this from the arkan of Islam al-Khamsa? Yani, that which is necessary in order to fulfill a duty also became necessary. So a person can't fulfill the duty of Salat without Tahara. So it became an obligatory duty because you can't pray without Tahara. So the first of them is the completion and perfection of purifications. Kama amr Allah Azza wa Jal, as Allah has commanded us with. Thumma salawatu al-khamsu. Then the five prayers. Yani, pillars of Islam. Now, yani it came as a not, but the numbers here, yani from 3 to 10, whenever there's a number with a ma'adud, in Arabic from 3 to 10 is opposite the ma'adud.
Yeah, but it is in mudaf ilayh, but here it's like the super.
No, but that's how they use it. That's how they use it. Now, it came as though it's a sifa, but yani it still has to be opposite.
We said in the book, al-Kanul is imam, al-Kanul imam al-Khamsa.
Naam, arkan al-iman as-sittatu. Arkan al-iman, yani arkan is the ma'adud, and iman is the mudaf ilayhi, and as-sitta is the not for arkan, not for, yani it's the sitta for arkan. So originally arkan, yani we look at the mufrad, when we look at the opposite of gender and number, adad and ma'adud, you look at the mufrad. So arkan, rukn is mudhakr. In any case, it's mudhakkar, so the number should be mu'annath.
Because I saw here like a sifa for a jama to wear on
after. Naam, but remember, yani just like the example you just gave, right? Rukn is mudhakkar. So the number that is describing it should be as-sittatu, yani mu'annath. And the same thing here, yani in this particular case, the salawat, the singular, is feminine. So the number should be opposite, masculine. Okay, so we have the tahara, thumma salawat al-khamsu, wa sawmu shahri ramadana, and the fasting, the month of Ramadan, which is from the pillars of iman, of Islam, wa zakatu ala ma bayyanahu Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the zakat, which is from the pillars of Islam, in accordance with what, how the Prophet made clear. What is the zakat include? Yani, that's from the sunnah, right? What is zakat? Yani, all of the requirements of zakat came from the Prophet ﷺ in the sunnah. ثُمَّ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلٌ. And then the pilgrimage to the house for whoever is able to find a way to it, to reach there. Yani, safety and the means of travel and so on. Okay, Abu Bakr, go ahead. بعد ثم الحج next line
أتى وترك الصلاة كفر
وترك الصلاة كفر
وكذلك
جهود
جهود الصوم والزكاة والحج الصوم والزكاة والحج والجهاد والجهاد الفرض والجهاد والجهاد
You know, it's ma'atuf on the beginning. Awwaluha itmamu, thumma salatu, wassawmu, wazzakatu, thumma hajju, waljihadu. Waljihadu. It's ma'atuf from the beginning.
Fardun alal kafaya ma'al birr wal fajr. والساهر أعمال
التطوع
التي يستحق بفعلها اسم زيادة الإيمان وأفعل منها من والأفعال
المنهي
عنها التي بفعلها يستحق
نقصان
الإيمان.
ابن مندة.
ولدت سنة
1383. طيب. يعني this is the end of this section. يعني where ابن مندة رحمه الله he says, after mentioning yani, that the last part of Iman is the actions of the limbs of the body, which include all of the other yani, limbs of yani, the actions of all the remaining limbs of the body, other than the heart and the tongue, including yani, acts of obedience and obligatory duties that Islam is based upon, the first of them being Tahara, then Salat, Sawm, Zakat, Hajj to the house. And then he says, abandoning Salat is Kufr. Yani, that this is obligatory. An obligatory and essential element of Iman is that a person does these actions. Yani, from amongst them is Salat. And then he says the opposite of that, abandoning the Salat is Kufr. And likewise, denial of Sawm and Zakat and Hajj is also Kufr. Yani, he's saying that to do it is essential for Iman, and to abandon it takes you out of the Iman. Yani, it causes you to fall into كفر وكذلك يعني الجهود جهود الصوم والزكاة denial the rejection or denial يعني that you deny the obligation of fasting you deny the obligation of zakat or the obligation of pilgrimage يعني abandoning salat or the denial of these other matters this is all kufr then he says والجهاد فرض يعني from the essential actions of Islam Yani is jihad. It's not from the pillars of Islam, but it's from the critical matters of Islam. That is al-jihadu, but it is fardun ala kifaya. Yani meaning it's obligatory upon the people as a whole, not upon every individual. And this is an obligation upon the people as a whole, ma'a al-bar wal-fajir. Yani meaning the one who is righteous, the leader, the ruler who is righteous, or the ruler who is wicked. Yani jihad is obligatory with the ruler who is righteous as well as the ruler who is wicked. Huh? Not infidel, no. Birr and fajir, no. It means the Muslim ruler. The Muslim ruler. This means jihad is legislated to be fought under the command of the Muslim ruler. But it, the point here is that even if the ruler is a righteous ruler or he is a sinful person, it's still obligatory upon the people as a whole. As long as some of the people fulfill their obligations, others are free of blame. If nobody fulfills it, everybody falls into sin. وَسَائِرْ الْعَمَالِ التَّتَوُّعِ يعني, and then he adds, to make it even more general, يعني, and the remaining other actions that are supererogatory deeds, يعني voluntary deeds. يعني in addition to the salat and zakat and siyam and zakat and hajj and jihad, then there are also other voluntary, extra supererogatory deeds. التي يستحق بفعلها اسم زيادة الإيمان. يعني those deeds which a person deserves to be described with an increase in their iman if they do them. Yani if you do these things, it will increase your iman. And this, yani points us, and what follows it points us to part of the definition of iman from the people of Sunnah, is that iman, yani, is not only the i'tiqad of the qalb and the yani speech on the lisan and the yani amal bil arkan, but it is also yani iman. يعني يزيد وينقص. It increases and it decreases. That's part of the definition of iman. And so from the scholars of Islam, they said that iman increases by doing good deeds. So there are also other deeds that are voluntary, which يستحق بفعلها اسم زيادة الإيمان. That a person, if they do those things, they deserve to be given the description of increase of iman. والأفعال المنهي عنها, and deeds which have been prohibited from, التي بفعلها يستحق نقصان الإيمان, يعني those things which a person deserves, is deserving of being described with decrease of iman if they do them. So this is also part of the definition of iman, that is, iman increases and decreases, and also that the level of iman of the people differs. It's not the same, it varies. Some people's iman is higher or greater than others. This is what we wanted to cover today. There's a few minutes remaining, and I just want to quickly go through, yani, the English notes that we had from Sheikh Al Uthaymeen. Okay. Yeah, it seems as though, yani, it seems as though he's making a clear distinction, yani, here between the abandonment of salat and the denial of zakat and siyam and hajj. What's the difference, yani? Why is he making a distinction here? Because there's a difference between amongst the people of Sunnah concerning the salat and the other pillars of Islam. Yani, there's a difference, right? So, yani, here he's saying that abandoning salat, even if you agree that it's obligatory, if you abandon salat, you fell into kufr. The others, he's saying, even if a person didn't give zakat, but as long as they don't deny it, but if they deny it, then they fell into kufr. So the distinction here is that, yani, it's agreed upon, it's authentically narrated, that the thing that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ agreed, that whoever abandons it fell into kufr, is salat. That's agreed upon by the Sahaba. Abandonment of salat. They didn't say, whoever didn't agree that it's obligatory, they denied its obligation. They said whoever abandoned it, even one salat, knowingly, voluntarily, person abandoned it, that's kufr. That's agreed upon by Sahaba. That's authentically narrated. So then there's a difference between salat and zakat and siyam and hajj. And that's the distinction that he's making. It's Jazakallahu khair for, yani, for bringing that point up, because that's a very important point. Okay, he got another question for all of us to benefit from.
Why if a person does the salat but doesn't,
doesn't do it well?
No.
Or doesn't believe it's obligatory?
Yeah, the person does the salat but doesn't believe that it is obligatory.
Naam. That's kufr. Even if a person does it.
Accepted.
It's not accepted. The person, that's kufr. Yani, a person who prays, yani, the hypocrites, they prayed, right? Yes. But they didn't believe it's obligatory. So that's kufr. Yani, whoever denies that the prayer is obligatory, they have denied the Quran. That's kufr, clear kufr, no doubt about it.
So it's okay not to give zakat, but not to deny.
It's not okay. It's not okay. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he fought and killed the people who yani refused to give zakat. So it's not okay, no. But there's difference between salat and zakat. There's a difference. Okay, I mean, in other words, the scholars of the Sunnah, they have made a distinction because of the fact that it's authentically narrated that Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in agreed by consensus, by ijma', that a person who fails to willingly, knowingly perform one prayer in his time, they have fallen into kufr. So that's why there's a distinction. Not that, okay, you can take one part of Islam and leave the other. If a person failed to do some actions, we don't say they became a kafir, except salat. But if they deny that it's obligatory to do it, that's kufr. If a person, yani, denies that it's obligatory to pray, but they pray, that's still kufr. Because you have denied, yani, that which is clear in Islam, yani, that there's no doubt about. Okay, just quickly, the last point that we want to make. I don't remember where I took these notes from, but I think it's from Shaykh Uthaymeen's explanation of Manhaj Ahl Sunnah fil Aqidah wal Amal. That's why I think, this is years ago, from a long time ago, maybe like 20 years ago, but I can't remember because I didn't make a reference here at that time. But in any case, the saying of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning faith or belief, yani al-Iman. The reality of Iman, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is conviction in the heart, speech on the tongue, and actions by the limbs or the body parts. And we just get finished discussing this in some detail. The proof of this statement is the saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the meaning of which, indeed, Iman consists of 70 some odd branches. Highest of them, a'laha, yani qawl, la ilaha illallah, the saying of la ilaha illallah, and the lowest branch is removal of something, yani, harmful from the road. And al-hayat, modesty, is a branch of iman. Yani the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentioned this hadith, and other scholars mention it, as a proof of the definition of Ahl Sunnah of iman. Because in this hadith it mentions what? That the highest level of it is saying la ilaha illallah, which is speech, and the lowest branch is removal of something harmful from the road, which is the action. And al-haya, yani, is a branch of iman, meaning haya is from the actions of the heart. So this, yani, includes the heart, the limbs, and the speech of the tongue. This hadith is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh went on to explain the speech upon the tongue is saying la ilaha illallah, yani from the aspects of iman. The actions of the limb is removing something harmful from the road. The action of the heart is modesty. Yani the actions of the heart, yani there are many actions of the heart. So from amongst the actions of the heart is modesty in this hadith, and yani other actions of the heart, hub and bughd and ikhlas and so on. The conviction in the heart is believing in Allah, His angels, His scriptures, His messengers, the judgment day, and the divine decree, the good and the bad of it. And this is based upon, yani this conviction of the heart, yani is based upon the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani in the hadith, that we read, hadith of Jibril, the iman is to believe in Allah and His angels and scriptures and messengers, judgment day, and to believe in the divine decree, the good and bad of it. Yani the hadith reported by Imam Muslim from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Shaykh goes on to say, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah also hold that iman increases and decreases. And this is something that's disputed amongst some people from amongst the Muslim Ummah, who denied that iman increases and decreases. They claim that it's stable and that it's the same for everyone. Once you have iman, it's just iman. There's no, somebody's iman is greater or lesser. So this is from the aspects, important aspects of definition of iman, is that Ahlul Sunnah believe that iman increases and decreases. The Quran points to its increase. Shaykh Uthaymeen is saying that Quran clearly points to the fact that iman increases, while rational necessity points to the fact that everything which is confirmed to increase must necessarily have the potential to decrease. Yani, if there's anything that can increase, then it also could decrease. Naam. So the Shaykh is saying the Quran points to the increase, and then, yani, rational, yani, necessity points to the potential, the possibility of decrease of iman. Allah says in the Quran, and there are some other proofs too. The Shaykh, this is a summary, yani, of the topic, yani, where he didn't discuss it in detail, but there are other places where he discussed in more detail with other proofs about increase and decrease of iman. Here he says the saying of Allah, as far as the increase of iman, saying of Allah in the Quran, and the believers may increase in iman in Surah Al-Mudathir, 74th Surah, 31st Ayat, وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِمَانًا. And then he quotes also from Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 124th Ayat, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. يعني, as far as those who believe, then it has increased them in faith, showing increase in iman again. And then the other ayats, yani that the Shaykh, that you can refer to, yani mentioned here, 3rd Surah, 173rd Ayat, Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 2nd Ayat, Al-Ahzab, 33-32, Surah Al-Fat, 48-4, and the chapter heading 33 of from the Sahih of Al-Imam Bukhari, chapter heading that he, yani entitled the chapter, Faith Increases and Decreases, after which he brought evidences, yani for this point of increase and decrease of iman. Since iman also includes speech and action, according to Ahl Sunnah al Jama'ah, iman is conviction in the heart, speech on the tongue, and actions of the limbs of the body. So since iman also includes speech and actions, there's no doubt that the speech of the people differs from one person to another. The one who says Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wallahu Akbar, one time is certainly not like the one who says it 100 times. Yani, if they're equal in that, they're saying it knowing its meaning, contemplating its meaning, and believing it in their heart. The one who says it one time is not like the one who says it 100 times. Unless we're saying the one who said it one time said it with understanding and strong conviction, and the one who said it 100 times doesn't know its meaning, doesn't contemplate on its meaning, and doesn't say it with conviction. Otherwise, if they're equal, otherwise, then saying more speech of truth is better than saying less. Likewise, the iman, which is conviction in the heart, also differs in strength and weakness from one person to another. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, "My Lord, show me how you give life to the dead." He, Allah said to him, "Do you not believe?" Yani, alam, awalam tu'min. And Ibrahim said, "Bala, walakin liyatma'anna qalbi." Yes, I believe, but in order that the conviction in my heart may be stronger. Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 260. No doubt, that which is, the Shaykh yani ended here with this definition of iman by saying, no doubt, that which is reported is not like witnessing something with your own eyes. Yani, the khabar that you hear from somebody or people is not like al-mushahada, al-mu'ayyana, it's not the same. Yani, you saw it yourself, it's not like somebody truthful came and told you, such and such happened just now outside. If this is a truthful person, we believe him, right? But it's not like if we saw it ourselves. Yani al-khabar laysa kal-mu'ayyana. They are not the same. Hence we say, yani the person who saw something, who was present for it, is not like the one who heard it. Yani who was told about it. Hence we say, al-iman increases and decreases. The righteous actions and speech, as well as the conviction which is in the heart, yani differs from one person to another, it increases and decreases, and whoever denies this, yani increase and decrease of iman, is in contradiction to the sharia, proofs and evidences, as well as the reality which one experiences every day in life. Yani we experience increase and decrease of iman in our own selves, every day. Yani whoever is conscious of their own selves, they know that iman increases and decreases. Whoever denies it, they are not only denying the Sharia proofs, but they are also denying their own life experience. Naam, Abdul Halim. Yarhamukallah. Naam. 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 Seeing it is different, right?
Yeah.
Yani, if somebody told you that something is happening and you believe them, it's going to affect you. But when you see it yourself, it's going to be different. Naam, it's not that he didn't believe. Ibrahim, it's not that he didn't believe. But he's saying, Allah, I want to see. Yani, I want to see it, I want to witness it. This will make stronger. The iman that I have in my heart will become stronger by actually seeing it. So Allah made him see the giving of life to the birds. Made him witness it himself. And seeing it, yani is different than being told. Now, Naam, naam. The hadith of the companion who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Actually, he went to Abu Bakr first, And then they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they told him, he said that, yani Hanzala radiallahu anhu, he told Abu Bakr, I'm a hypocrite, I've become a hypocrite. And Abu Bakr said, what? Subhanallah, what are you saying? He said, when I'm with my family, then I'm one way, when I'm with the Messenger of Allah, another way. My iman is strong. It's as though I'm seeing the paradise and the hellfire. When we are with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I go home with my family and my children and tend to my worldly affairs, my iman decreases. So he felt like he's a hypocrite. And then Abu Bakr said, wa ana kadhalik, I'm the same way. When I'm with the Messenger, I'm like this, but when I'm home, it's different. When they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them, yani that, yani sa'atan sa'atan, yani there's a time for this and there's a time for that. Yani there's worship of Allah and there's also your worldly life, and it's not going to be the same. This is an excellent proof that mashallah, Abdul Halim, barakallahu feekum. This is actually a proof of increase and decrease of iman. Some of the scholars actually mentioned this hadith under the topic of increase and decrease of iman. And then he said, second hadith.
This hadith, a person mentioned that the Messenger mentioned that Muslims and Nazis, and he described these trees in the desert.
Now,
was big and huge, and the other one was small, and when the storm came, the big one fell, and the storm came, the little one went from one
ben.
To the other, but, and he said, this big tree was like the magic when it fell, the small tree, was like the believer that went in, the roots were deep,
yeah.
And the laughing.
Yeah, this is the parable in Surah Ibrahim of the good tree. Yani, لَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً وَكَلِمَةً خَبِيثَةً. Yani, نعم. Yani, the parable of the tree. Yani, the tree that's rooted. Yani, tree of iman, of tawheed, that's rooted in the heart of the believer. This is the parable that came in Surah Ibrahim. نعم. Okay, so now I'm.
A problem to pull out my.
We're going
to
stop here if there's no question. Now. Okay, then we'll stop and then we'll entertain it, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. By the way, let me just say that next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to do Mustawa Thalith, level 3 fiqh. We're going to start level 3 fiqh. Inshallah, somebody's going to print the books for us.
Are you going
to send anything? We finish. I'll send it, inshallah. Somebody send me a reminder. I'll send you the PDF. But somebody's going to print them for us. So inshallah, for the next class, we'll have the printing. It's a big book, you know. It's like 90-something pages, you know. So I don't want to ask anybody to copy it. So anyway, somebody else said they can do it. You said, is it what? Or is it? Specific madhab. Yani, not exactly. Not completely. Yani, it's pretty much based upon the evidences. Yeah, pretty much, for the most part. Now, but of course, even the books of fiqh that are not from a madhab, still, yani, there's going to be a difference, right? Between who is bringing the evidences, what kind of evidence they're going to bring. But I mean, it's a simple book of fiqh. It's not a complicated book of fiqh. It's a simple book of fiqh that its primary purpose is for us to improve our Arabic and learn some of the terminologies in Arabic, yani from the matters of fiqh that we have to deal with every day, fundamentals of fiqh, and at the same time also to learn some matters of fiqh and some of the evidences that we might have missed. Yani some of these things we may know, but some of it for sure it will be beneficial, yani it will be something new, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala.